believe that prayer can be powerful. We say yes. It's easy, right? We say yes, but it's quite another thing when you're going through the thick of it. Sometimes doubts happen, and we can endure things in life that shake us to the very foundations of our faith. Isn't that true? Joey, if I can have a little bit more volume, thanks. And as we do those types of things, sometimes we start to wane in our prayer life. We begin to think that prayer does no good. And sometimes it depends also on where we are spiritually. Let me just say, if spiritually we're not walking with the Lord as we should be, our prayer life inevitably suffers, doesn't it? I believe prayer is powerful. I personally do believe that. I can give you a couple of instances of that. I had a friend who went to Moody Bible. How many of you know Moody Bible Institute? Okay, in Chicago. He went to receive training. He was going to be a missionary. He rented a flat, they call them in the city, right? He rented a flat with two other guys. And they had just enough money to pay the tuition and buy the books. They had no money for food. Some of us have been there, huh? And they were sitting around one evening after classes feeling kind of hungry. And they said, you know, what are we going to do? Should we go out, get a job? You know, they were working to pay off their tuition, but to get food, they would need some more money. So my friend said to them, we need to have a prayer meeting. So they prayed from 9 o'clock that night to 5 o'clock that morning until they felt God had heard them and that an answer was coming. Here's what they prayed. Lord, all we want is butter. That's what they prayed. All they want is butter. 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the door. It was a merchant who was had a business in Chicago, a grocery business. And he said, I just felt led to bring this to you. He rolls in a barrel of peanut butter. All right. So he says to me, the moral of the story is when you pray, you believe in what you're praying for, but be specific. Because they got this whole barrel of peanut butter, which they appreciated, but they were praying just for butter, right? I think a lot of us here could tell stories about the power of prayer. The fact that I sat in on the drums today is an answer to prayer, because you all know the trouble I've had with my hands and arthritis. And I finally was able to go see the doctor. And I really believe between the doctor and God, he enabled my hands to work again. And so to me, that's the power of prayer. One of the reasons why I think the church, the evangelical church, is not as strong as it could be, is because when we pray, a lot of times we get so caught up in our own needs that we fail to pray for one another. Does that make sense? There's power when we pray for one another in prayer. If we're not praying for one another, then we're leaving out an important aspect of prayer. That's not to say you can't pray for your needs. God certainly wants us to do that. But how about if I pray for my brother or sister? How about if I pray for our teens? How about if I pray for our seniors? I think there's power in that type of prayer that we miss out on, because when we come to prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings or Wednesday nights, a lot of times the prayer is you know, for what we're going through, and we pray for other people, but Paul gives us a model of prayer in these four verses in Thessalonians that I believe if we follow it, we can see things happen that we never dreamed of. Okay? Now, I want to be clear on something. Prayer is not about getting what we want. Okay? I would like a Cadillac. I mean, you know, I could see myself in a Cadillac, right? But what I want and what I need are two different things, and really God knows what I need. So instead of a Cadillac, he gave me a Kia Soul. And that's okay. That's okay. He provided the need. Prayer is about letting God help us to see reality through His eyes, through His will, through His word. And when we see that for one another, then God is able to help us to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. Great things can happen. Look at this with me. Paul says in verse 9 of Thessalonians chapter 3, if you want to follow in your Bible, he says, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" Paul's saying, hey, look, you are the fruit of my ministry, and I thank God all the time for you. Isn't that neat? When was the last time somebody said thank you for you? So let me be the first today, okay? Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time to come out. Thank you for worshiping our God. Thank you for being in Sunday school. Thank you for coming to the men's group, the women's group, for the ministries we have. Thank you. But then he goes into the power of prayer. Night and day, he says what? We pray. Night and day. He not only does he say we pray what? Most earnestly. Real prayer is work. Real prayer is work. When we are engaged with God in real prayer, it's work. Because at that moment we become engaged with God, we are saying, God, help me see what you want me to see here. Help me pray what you want me to pray here. Help me, Father, because I'm agonizing right now. I want to pray for my brother. I want to pray for my sister. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. Isn't that true? But we know they're hurting. And we have the promise that when we don't know what to pray, who intercedes for us? The Holy Spirit. But we need to be engaged with prayer. Prayer is the most intimate way, I believe, we can be connected to God. Now, having said that, it's work. I think sometimes we do those arrow prayers, and that there's nothing wrong with that. But when our heart is burdened with something, sometimes we need to pray for an extended amount of time, don't we? Sometimes when we pray, it's best if we just stay still and not say anything before God. I mean, it can take a number of forms, and I'm not trying to put a formula to this, but real prayer is hard work. A man by the name of Samuel Zwinger wrote this, and it caught my eye. Prayer is the gymnasium of the soul. It's the gymnasium of the soul. Remember when I told you about my friend who went to Moody Bible? They prayed from 9 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning, and they prayed until they really felt God answered them. They didn't know what the answer was. The answer could have been no, right? It could have been no. But at that point, they had the peace that God gave them an answer. Now all they had to do was wait for the answer. I think prayer is the second most neglected thing that we can be guilty of. The first one being the word. We can't separate, in my mind, a word and prayer. God's word always has to inform us as to what to pray for. It has to direct us in what to pray. And prayer keeps us intimately connected with God. Prayer should be consistent with God's will. All right, did you get that? Prayer should be consistent with God's will. Okay, Pastor, how do we know what's God's will when we pray for each other? In other words, if I'm going to pray for Jim Vilecki, okay? Sorry, I don't mean to use you as an example, Jim. But if I'm going to pray for Jim Vilecki, what should I pray for? Okay? Should I pray that he hits the lottery? You know? Should I pray that for safety? Should I Paul gives us some directive here, and I think we need to hear this very carefully. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Paul, again, was saying, look, I've been ripped from you because of people who want to hamper my ministry to you, but we've been praying that God clear the way. But now he goes into the prayer. May the Lord make your what? Do what? Well, that's good, huh? May the Lord make your love increase. So if I could use Jim again as an example, it would be good when I remember to pray for him to say, Lord, for my brother, would you help his love increase? Is there anybody here who has enough love? Another way of saying that is every one of us could probably be more loving in some way. And loving doesn't mean wishy-washy, doesn't mean, the good feely stuff. But when we ask God to increase love, what we're saying, what we're praying for is, God, give us the same love you have for each other. May it be your love. God's love is a holy love, correct? God's love is a love that has our best interest at heart. So when I pray for all of you, a good thing for me to pray for is, Lord, help increase our love for each other. And may it overflow. May it overflow. What happens when a cup overflows? Spills over. It goes, right? And if it keeps overflowing, right? Have any of you overflowed a bathtub? Oh, Tila. Right. Tila overflowed a bathtub. You overflow a bathtub, the greater the amount, it's going to overflow all over the place. Listen, God is a love. God is a God of infinite love. Isn't that correct? God never runs out of love. God sometimes has to judge sin. Isn't that right? Doesn't mean he stops loving us, though. And God, when God judges sin, it's not to destroy us. It's to bring us back to him. Correct? And that's loving discipline. But make your love increase and overflow for each other. If we prayed this for each other, my guess is that there would be greater unity in the church. Isn't that true? You're not going to backstab somebody you love. Right? You're going to have the best interest of that person. You're not going to let a disagreement break fellowship. You're not going to let the color of the carpet be an issue. Yeah, we get in. Boy, I've told you this story before. I had the privilege of having lunch with Warren Wiersbe, who was a pastor and a great Bible teacher. And he told a story. He was in a board meeting with one of the churches he pastored, and they were talking about some issues where there was disagreement on foolish things: what color to paint the sanctuary, and what kind of chairs they should get, and all of this. One of the leaders got up from the table and was approaching Dr. Wiersbe, and he thought he was going to come and maybe say something privately to him. Instead, he came and gave him a right hook. It's a true story. Knocked him off his chair. How we can get so wrapped up in this stuff that we become even worse than the world. Jesus said they will know you are Christians by what? Well, I think John said it, by your love for one another. Lord, when I pray for my brother, my sister in Christ, help me pray that our love would increase and overflow. And not only for people in the church, but look where he goes with this. And for everyone else, just as ours does for you. That includes those outside the church, your co-workers, your neighbors. I was going to ask how many of you have bad neighbors, but I won't even ask. Okay? That includes your bad neighbors. Lord, help me love someone I really don't want to love. That's when you know it's supernatural, right? That's when you know God is in the mix when you pray those things. We need to pray that our love will increase, and we need to pray that our love will overflow to those who don't know Jesus Christ. I want to add to this, we need to pray for encouragement also. Encouragement and strength. In fact, let me go ahead another verse. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our Lord, when Lord and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. This is talking about the second coming, correct? In other words, when I pray for my brother and sister, I should pray that the Lord give them spiritual strength so that whenever the Lord comes back, we finish well. We finish well. The statistics on professing believers who do not finish well are staggering. But if I pray for you that God may strengthen your heart and encourage your heart so that by faith you live in a way that glorifies God, so that if God comes back today, we're found doing what he wants us to do. Do you realize nobody knows when that's going to be, right? There might be signs and some things, but nobody really knows exactly when that's going to be. But we need to pray for our encouragement. Paul wanted to supply what was lacking in faith. And this is where we can help one another. Listen closely. If we see somebody slipping, you know what I mean by slipping? They're not walking with the Lord as they should. Maybe they're making some poor decisions. Rather than going up and getting in their face and, you know, with a pointing finger at them, we need to come alongside of them and say, how can I help? How can I encourage your heart? Do you want to talk about it? And that sets a totally different tone, doesn't it? Here's what I think we have to remember. Is there anybody here who hasn't struggled in their faith? We all have at one point. We've struggled in our faith. And that's when we can pray for one another, come alongside one another, encourage one another. Sometimes, you know, God can use a godly brother and sister to kind of give us a smack on the backside to say, come on, you know, let's go. The way you're going is not good here. I've been there, you know. Encourage. You know what usually brings discouragement to our lives? It's not usually the big problems, although that can happen. It's the mounting up of all the small problems. Isn't that true? I call them termites. The termites of life, they just keep very slowly doing their work until you say, oh, I've had it, you know, and you start to get discouraged. We need to be aware that life can erode our walk with God and start to erode prayer. We need to come alongside one another. There needs to be confession in there also, because sin will start to damage our prayer life. Isn't that correct? In fact, there's indication in the Bible that when we have unconfessed sin in our lives, that our prayer goes no higher than the ceiling. And we need to have that time of confession, that time of getting real with God, and receive God's forgiveness. I want you to listen to what John Bunyan said. He said, prayer will make man cease from sin. Did you get that? Prayer will make man cease from sin, or sin will entice man to cease from prayer. When we have unconfessed sin in our lives, prayer is the first thing to go. Second thing to go is getting into the Word. The third thing to go is worship. It's better to deal with it right away. Life can wear us out if we're not careful. We need to help build up one another, lift one another up in prayer. Strength for each other. And Paul is saying here, may he strengthen your hearts. This was the start of persecution for this church. Persecution from the community, persecution from employers, persecution from the government. I have a letter on my computer from the Billy Graham Association, Franklin Graham in particular, and the heading on the letter is this: persecution of Christians in the United States is on the increase. In my lifetime, I didn't think I'd ever see that. But it's happening. And it's happening in very subtle ways. And as it's happening in very subtle ways, you and I need to pray for one another, for strength, for resolve. Because when trials come, we have one or two ways to respond. Either we let the trials defeat us, or we look to God and say, Lord, help me walk through this with you to give you honor and glory. I'll have that letter at the prayer meetings if you want to see it this week. But you can go on the Billy Graham organization and download that letter. He gives you very specific instances of how persecution is starting to kick up in the United States towards Christ followers. The other thing with prayer, when we start praying for each other, God changes the lens on our glasses. I didn't need glasses, I think, until my second year of college years ago when, you know, I started to read and my arms didn't get long enough. You know, you've been there. And I noticed that was happening, so I went and I got reading glasses. And it had been like that for so long. You know how when they say, is this good? Is this good? Man, I didn't know that's how you were supposed to see. You know, when the right lens came, I didn't know how that's the way you're supposed to see. I mean, I was jumping for joy. I could read again, you know, normally. And then as I got older, I found out I had a problem with distance. I needed, you know, glasses for that. Now I'm up to three. I got trifocals. I got reading, I have computer, and I have distance. Without them, it's not good. Prayer connects us with God so we can start to see reality through His eyes and pray seeking His will. Because here's the thing. No matter what anybody's going through here today, God sees the end of it. We don't. Sometimes we can't see past the next step, but God sees the end of it. And as long as I know that my God can see the end of it, then He can give me the strength and the power just to take the next baby step by faith. And then the next one by faith and start to walk through it. Because I know God's on the other side of what I'm going through. One of the things that happened to me early in the ministry was I would get phone calls from people and they would say to me, I'm going through this problem. Can you give me some scripture to read? And I said, I'd be happy to give you scripture to read, but I want you to understand, this is not like going to the doctor and saying, I'm having this problem, you know, give me a prescription and, you know, call me in the morning. I said, I can give you scripture to read, but you have to understand that God will not necessarily take this affliction from you, that He may want you to walk through it to learn something about you and something more about Him, but He will strengthen your faith if you do it His way. So whenever I get calls like that, I'll say to people, read the scriptures, but trust God in the process. Trust God in the process. We don't like processes anymore. We're impatient. We want results today, right? We want results today. We want a God who answers us today. God a lot of times doesn't do that. And he doesn't do that for a reason. Because we still have a lot more to learn about him and about ourselves. And so we don't trust the process. Part of the therapy for my hands is I had to go to the physical therapists. And it was uncomfortable. It hurt. But there was a light at the end of the tunnel because now I could hold a drumstick. I can type without pain. I mean, God sees the end when we're going through whatever trial we're going through. I have to trust that God is the best therapist in the world, that he knows my needs better than I know them, and I have to walk through this valley, if you will, under the direction of his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, keep communicating and praying for him, and take baby steps as I go along. And if we know somebody's going through stuff like that now, we need to pray this prayer for them. We need to pray that we can navigate trials God's way. We need to know God sees the whole picture. And we need to pray for every one of us to finish well. To finish well. Because the Lord is coming back. There's a missionary some of you have met, Dr. David Spruance, who's now with the Lord. But he and his wife ministered in Argentina for 35 years. And when he came back to America some 30 years ago, I guess it was, and he started to get back into the American church, he was astounded at two things. First of all, the lack of prayer among people in America. Second, the lack of miracles. And he made this statement. He said, "We don't see miracles here in America because we don't ask and we don't pray." I believe the best thing we can do is pray for one another. We pray earnestly. It's work. It takes time. We pray for strength for one another, encouragement for one another. We pray that our love would increase for one another. That we can love each other even though we may have disagreements. That we can love each other even when we disappoint each other. That we can love one another the way God loves us. Then I think within the body of Christ we'll start to see miracles. We'll really start to see miracles. I don't know how many years ago it was. We talk about praying and believing. Praying in God's will and believing. And I get a little bit nervous using these illustrations, but this is true. I've seen it happen. I don't know how many years ago we had a drought in the summertime. And my sister-in-law, Gloria, kept saying, "I'm praying for rain. I'm praying for rain. I'm praying for rain." And she showed up at a Sunday service carrying an umbrella. We hadn't had rain. There was not a cloud in the sky. But she'd been praying for rain. And by the end of the service, it was raining. It was raining. We need powerful prayers, but we need to be accepting of whatever answer comes our way, knowing that God sees the whole picture. We have no Sunday school through the summer. What I'll offer this to you, on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, I'm usually here. If you want to come on Sunday morning from 10 to 10:15 and have a time of prayer, we can meet in that back room. Well, Pastor, it means I have to get here a little bit earlier? Maybe. Does that mean I have to think on Sunday morning? Yeah, maybe. But if we pray, maybe we'll see some great things happen. I can tell you this, nothing happens without prayer. I can tell you that. We have a lunch ministry coming up. We have Lacey Day coming up. November will be here before you know it. We have our coat giveaway coming up. We'll be talking about doing some other things. Nothing will be effective without prayer. So I'll offer that up to you. Just a show of hands as I close. How many of you need prayer? How many of you would appreciate being prayed for by somebody else? Lift your hands. Would you look around? I don't care if you know their name or not, but remember the hand that's lifted and pray for them. Follow what Paul says here and pray for them. I want you to listen to this song.